of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember you and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, you and I will see who we were meant to be. All we are and all we have is all a gift from God that we receive. Brought to life, we open up our eyes to see the majesty and glory of the King. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember you and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, and you and I will see who we were meant to be. And even the rocks cry out, even the heavens shout at the sound of His holy name. So let every voice sing out, let every knee bow down. He is worthy of all our praise. You and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, you and I will see that you and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, then you and I will see who we were meant to be.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. I got a couple announcements here. First off, tonight there will be a business meeting during the evening service. And then also this Wednesday there will not be no WANAs or youth meeting.
Yes, choir is continuing to practice for our Christmas cantata. I think it's the 11th. And I also wanted you to know that our two are... volunteers are going to be training to be a part of the tech team, and this gives a chance. They'll be training this afternoon at 5 o'clock at the same time the choir will be practicing. I wanted to give take this chance to invite two more to join them. This would be a great chance for you to come at 5 o'clock and get orientated about that. And this will be the last time I ask for volunteers. From now on, I'll be forcibly choosing people of my choosing. And so you got one more chance. One more week, and next week that begins. So, thank you.
All right, will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everything we have in our lives, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. I pray for this word we're about to hear, Lord. I pray you speak to us, and let's have the ears to hear. God, I pray for these holidays and travel and everything. I pray you just keep us safe and be with us and protect us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me? From heaven to earth, our Savior came. For us on a cross, He bled and died, and from the cross to an empty grave, He rose to life, He rose to life. He lives, reigning in power. He lives, name above all names. Hallelujah, now forever. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Glory to Him upon the throne, forever exalted and seated high. The Lamb of God, He has overcome. He is alive, He is alive. He lives, reigning in power.
To land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master.
Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever by His side. All the host of heaven sing, assemble thee. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Belongs the highest praise.
the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one King reigning over all. So I will not fear, for this truth remains, that my God is the Ancient of Days. None above Him, none before Him, all of time in His hands. For His throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His name. For my God, the Ancient of Days. Though the dread of night overwhelms my soul, He is here with me. I am not alone, for His love is sure, and He knows.
Glad you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there is a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate. You won't be getting a bunch of mail because of that. You'll get one letter from the church thanking you for coming, but We'd like for you to do that if you haven't done that already, to fill one of those out and put it in the offering plate. Our men will come now and receive the morning offering. Just a brief announcement about tonight. We'll be having our business session at 6 o'clock, as usual. It'll be a regular business meeting. And you, of course, are invited to come. We urge you to come and be a part of that meeting. It'll be an eating meeting. Baptists hardly ever get together without eating. We had a good eating meeting last night. It was a little cool, but we had a good eating meeting. We had dogs and horses, and we had almost 50 folks there. And as cold as it was, we were able to have a good time. And appreciate those that came, brought their horses, and helped us out with that, the cooking and all that. Tonight in the business session, we'll be voting on an associate pastor. We've talked to Brother Leon Sykes about moving back here and taking on the position of associate pastor again. He served in that capacity for a number of years here, and so we're lending him that opportunity again, depending on what the church decides. But I think he'll be moving back no matter what. But he's going to back to Arizona, sell his place there, and he's going to buy a place back here. Well, Leon has a doctor's degree in counseling, and he served in that capacity in a very faithful way when he was here before, and I think he'll be a good addition to the staff here at Osage. Gwen and I want to express our appreciation to you for all the text and messages that you've sent our family's way. Continue to pray for our granddaughter Elizabeth and her husband and family. She lost her baby day before yesterday, and they'll be having that funeral on Tuesday, and Melinda's grandmother's funeral will be tomorrow, and so you want to continue to be praying for that family and keeping that family lifted up. One of our men will come and lead us in prayer.
Please pray with me. Grace, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to call you Father. Amen. Lord, I just pray today that you speak to our hearts. You speak to every heart here today, Lord. You comfort them. You just wrap them in your arms today and just give them comfort and peace, Lord. I just thank you for the blessings that you give us each day, Lord, the opportunity to come here to serve you, to serve a risen God. Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings, and I just ask you, take this portion that we're able to give back to you, Lord. You make it go so much further and just further your kingdom, Lord, and just speak to our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.
you're involved in Children's Church, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to take charge of your groups. Would take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. The book of Romans, the fifth chapter. We've been going through the book of Romans, and the scripture's been teaching us that there's no place of elevation, no special place for folks to depend on salvation other than through Jesus Christ. He's talked to the Jews and their position, and the Jews thought that they, because of their heritage, because they were called God's people, that they would just be in an automatic position to be saved. So Paul changes that. And he proves to them that it's only through Jesus Christ. And we find in this scripture that he said, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so he outlines that position. And he puts everyone on level ground at the foot of the cross. Every individual. So the Holy Spirit of God deals with every individual's heart. And they're left with the decision. There's not going to be anyone in hell that'll have any excuse for being there. Everyone is given the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And so I hope that you're going to understand this morning that you're given that opportunity to say yes to Jesus yourselves. So let's dig into it. Romans, the fifth chapter. Would you stand with me and you follow along in your translation as I read for you from my translation? And we look at the benefits of salvation. There are multiple. But here, Paul just gives us a few of those to look at. And he says, therefore. We talked about that, right? All the way from Romans 1. So Romans 5, he said, everything that we've talked about in those chapters, therefore, if you receive Christ, here are just some of the benefits. Of course, we would, our first thought would be that the benefit is going to heaven, is to be in heaven. and that is the greatest, it seems to be. Therefore, he says, being justified by faith. That's one of our words that we've talked about earlier. This word justified, I mean, I know that it has a lot more meaning than this. But my definition of what I like to use is just as if I hadn't. That God brings me, he justifies me just as if I had not sinned. He covers me. My sins are forgiven at the cross. Doesn't give me a license to sin, but my sins are covered. And that's the only way you can get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now that faith's on my part. I have to put my trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Here he is beginning to talk about the benefits. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have, here's another one, access. You might want to underline that. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Here's another one. And not only so, but we glory in all the good times, right? Is that how your Bible reads? Oh, here's a word. Wow. We glory in tribulations. also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I hope we get down to get to talk about that. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So he kind of puts it in a little capsule there. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and in me. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, just as if we hadn't, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, from hell, from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's a good word. You may be seated. The first aspect that the Scripture talks of here in chapter 5 of the benefits of salvation is peace with God. In verses 1 and verse 2, and it says justified by faith. So this faith that we put in Christ to save our souls and give us eternal life, I believe that in every person's life, they have the opportunity to be saved. Just like the thief on the cross was given that opportunity, I believe that every person has an opportunity to be saved. That at some point in their life, the Holy Spirit of God deals with their heart. They realize that they're a sinner and lost, and unless something changes, they're going to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. And God did not create that place for you. He created for the devil and his angels. But because of our rejection of Christ and not being saved, we will end up in that place. We will end up in hell. So we're justified by faith. Look with me at Ephesians. Turn over a few pages. Get to Philippians. You've gone too far. Ephesians, the second chapter. Look, verse 8. No familiar verse. I could have quoted it, perhaps, but I want to make sure that we get it just exactly right. For by grace. Now that means you don't deserve it and I don't deserve it. Unmerited favor. There's not anything that you can do to save yourself. There is not one thing that you can do or I can do to save myself. I can live the best life that I can live, and it will not save my soul. I can be good to my wife and to my family. I can make contributions to the church and other good things that are going on. I can stand up for what's right, no matter what is taking place. But that will not save my soul. Being a good person will not save you. If that were possible, that you and I could be good enough in order to be saved, there would have been no reason for Jesus to have come and died on the cross for your sin and for mine. You can't be. And so here in this passage, the Scripture is proving to us that there's no other way other than faith in Jesus Christ. I'm for baptism and church membership. I urge people to do that. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We baptize folks all of the time. We had 4, 5 young people who were saved Wednesday night in Awana, and I'm going to urge them to be saved, to be baptized. Talk to their parents about them following the Lord and baptism. One little boy was just adamant about, you've got to talk to my mom. You've got to talk to my mom about me being, about when we can schedule this baptism. And I'm for it. I'm for it. But friend, listen to me today. You can be baptized until you know the name of every tadpole in the creek, and it will not save your soul. I'm for it. You must be saved first. Your heart has to be changed first. All the way through Romans, from Romans 1 all the way to Romans 5, Paul says, was Abraham justified by his circumcision? No. He became the father of many nations before he was ever circumcised. And God made him a promise of a son that was going to be an heir to the world. And Jesus was going to come from that heir. He was going to be, David was going to be Jesse's son. And pretty soon, through David's heirs, one after one, Jesus would be born. And he'd be the Savior of the world. And all the Old Testament prophesied to that. And so Paul at Romans asked this question, was he justified before he had circumcision or after he had circumcision? Study the Word. And we discover that it was before he had circumcision. And if you compared that, I don't think it compares to baptism. I'm just using that as an illustration. I don't think baptism took the place of circumcision. I don't believe that. But when you look at the Scripture, you discover that it was before. People are saved before. I've had folks to say to me, and I understood what they meant, but I would ask them about their relationship with the Lord when I knew about their life. And they say, yeah, I'm saved. You was the one that saved me. Well, no, if I was the one to save you, you're still lost. I'm not in the business of saving. I'm just in the business of telling people how to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now look at this. This is good news. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul told the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts that Jesus Christ would save him if he would call on him. He would put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be saved. Can't put your faith in a church. Don't put your faith in Osage Baptist Church because your name's on the roll, because it won't save you. Don't put your faith in some kind of contribution that you've made, or the fact that you're a good guy or a good gal. Put your faith in the fact that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Here in verse 1, he says, we have peace with God.
the lost man, the lost woman is at war with God. We're in Ephesians, so I want you to look in verse 12. And he's talking about before salvation in verse 12, and he says, at that time, we were without Christ. Now look at the definitions. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13 says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by your church membership. You're made nigh by your baptism. You're made nigh by your good works. Do you see that? Everybody see that? What's the matter with you? What does it say? It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. By the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. Without Christ, aliens, strangers, having no hope, without God. But now, it's all different. Then he comes to the second benefit that he mentions here. There's lots and lots of them, but here he says, we've come to a point of joy and tribulation. How in the world can that be? If you know Christ as your Savior, you have joy in tribulation. Now, I want to insert something right in here that we have to be aware of. Jesus said, cast all your, what? Care. All your worries. All your difficulties. All your trouble. All your tribulation. Cast all your care on me, because I don't care anything about you. Because I care for you, Jesus said. Cast all your care on me, because I care for you. So when tribulation comes in our life, we have a choice that you and I have to make. We can cast our care on Jesus, or we can try to carry the load ourselves. And I'm telling you, carrying the load yourself will not work. The word tribulation here comes from the word tribulant. It was a stone, a round stone called a tribulant that they would roll around on the threshing floor. It was heavy. And it was meant to separate the chaff from the wheat. And so they would roll it around on this flat floor, and then they would take a winnowing fork and they'd put it on the wheat, and they'd be up on a high place where the wind would be blowing, and they'd throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind would carry the chaff away, and they'd drop it back down, and the pure wheat would fall to the ground. And they would do that over and over and over. And they called that stone that they rolled around that floor a tribulant. And that's where we get our word tribulation. It literally means pressure. Pressure. Pressure in your life. Joy in tribulation. Glory in tribulation, verse 3 says. Peterson's translation puts it like this: glory as a shout or praise. Under pressure. The Amplified Bible says, triumph in troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. The word glory here means boast, glory, joy, rejoice. Glory in tribulation. Say, that's an impossibility. Glory in tribulation, when pressure comes, when trouble comes in our life. Christ is our comfort. God is the God of all comfort. He is a God that brings the peace that passes all understanding when there should not be any peace. Doesn't mean that our hearts are not broke. That's not what that means. Our heart breaks when trouble comes in our family and to our children. And we wish 10,000 times that we could take their place and take their trouble. We just pray, oh God, if there's just some way that you could put that on me. If I could bear that weight and keep them from having to bear the weight, I'd do that in a split second. But everyone has to bear their own. That wheat has to come out pure from that pressure. God uses that pressure in our life to bring out the best in us. Bring out in our life where we are able to take those troubles that we have faced ourselves and go to someone else and say, I know what you're feeling. Because most of us, when we somebody in trouble, we have a tendency to say, I'm sorry, I know what you're feeling. No, we don't know what they're feeling. Not unless we've been there ourselves. Not unless we've gone through that same trouble ourselves. We don't know what they're feeling. But God's given us that opportunity and that privilege in our life that whenever trouble comes in our life, that's not meant, God never meant for it to tear us down, but to build us up. To make us stronger as we walk in this Christian faith. And that is His plan for our life. And then he brings us to this place in the fifth verse in Romans 5. A place that we have a hope in us. And look at this. And this kind of hope that we have in Jesus maketh not ashamed. What does that mean? Maketh not ashamed. Well, when you know Christ as your Savior, you're not ashamed of Him. Not ashamed of Christianity. You take a stand for Christianity. You're not ashamed. It makes you bold some way to stand up. One of the benefits, he says, of salvation is that this is what happens. God has sent His Holy Spirit to do a lot of different things. He's the paraclete, just like Jesus. He comforts. He teaches. Got lots of jobs. He convicts of sin. He convinces people of what is right. What happens is that in people's lives, they have this time that they, sometime in their life, that they hear gospel. That word means good news. They hear the good news that Jesus Christ has come and died on the cross for our sin. We can be saved and our life can be changed. And so the Holy Spirit convinces our heart, this is true. This is true. The Holy Spirit convinces us, this is true. He convicts of sin. He teaches us what is true. And so we hear the gospel. Jesus Christ has come, died on the cross for our sin. So what do we do with that news? Well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if we respond to the Holy Spirit, we give our heart to Jesus. We ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin, come into our heart, and be our Savior. And He changes our life. And when that happens, Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Now, can you have someone living in your heart and not know it? You have somebody living in your home and not know it? When our kids were little, we used to say there was a little man that did hide the shoes and socks and stuff that we couldn't find. That little man has hid that stuff again. But in our lives, when the Holy Spirit comes to make residence in our heart and in our life, we know that He is there. Now, this is what the Scripture said in verse 5. He sheds the love of God into our heart. He puts the love of God in our heart. That's the reason that the whole Scripture, when you look through the Scripture, you discover that if you love not, you know not God. People that don't love don't know God, because when that happens in our heart, He sends that love into our heart. He said this is one of the benefits, that He puts that love in us. One last thing. Another hour and a half just on this last thing. That's what Leon said, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit living in you, God living in you, the love of God living in you, gives you power to live the Christian life. You and I don't have it. We don't have power to live the Christian life. We can't do what's right. Because we still have a sin nature, and we'll have a sin nature until we die. We can't do what's right. But the Holy Spirit is in us, teaching us what's right. And when I do what's wrong or think about what's wrong, he blows the whistle. Hey, Lanny, you know better than that. He blows the whistle on me. Says that's not right. Most important decision that you'll ever make in all of your life is what you do with Jesus. Matt, come and help us. Monica. Now, you're the only one who can make a decision for yourself. Ain't nobody else make that decision for you. Your daddy might have cut the logs that they made the building out of. It won't help you. It won't help me. Nobody else can make this decision for you but you. It is a decision between you and Jesus. There has to be that time in your life that you come to a place that you invite Jesus into your heart as Savior. I don't care where you go to church at. If you're not saved, you're headed for a devil's hell. I don't care who your mom and daddy is or what your situation is. It's just what the Bible teaches. I want to invite you today to give your heart to Jesus, to accept Him as your Savior. You can do it anywhere you're at. You can do it driving down the road. You can do it sitting on the creek bank. You can do it in your own home. You can do it here today. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you before the Father. So I think that a public profession of our faith in Jesus Christ is real important. That's part of our baptism. That's what our baptism does. It professes to the whole world, I've been saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Let's stand together. If you'd like to come today, if you'd like to talk to me or
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, for your truth, that it was spoken here today. Thank you for this church and our pastor, Brother Lanny, and Lord, that we stand for truth. Help us to be strong. Lord, I know that there's others that need you here. I pray that they, Lord, make that decision before it's eternally too late. Lord God, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for that joy and salvation that we have. We look to a future with you forever. Bless us now as we leave. Keep us safe. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.